Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turn to Luke in chapter 16. I get myself situated up here. Luke in chapter 16. You know how when you get older, you're not as graceful as you used to be? Remember when you could catch yourself when you started to fall? This morning, I get a little excited in here. I'm the only one here. I know when Pastor Josh comes, because he comes a little bit before everybody else, but I'm here almost 2 hours before he gets here, and I can hear that big red Suburban rumble in, so I know I'm no longer alone in the building. But when I'm alone in the building, I have some quite good times with my Lord and Savior. And it's not like I'm wacky or anything like that, but I walk all over the building praying. Sometimes when I'm walking, I get real excited, because prayer does that, man, when you're talking to God. Well, I just happened to be up here in the choir this morning at one point, and I'm walking through here, and I'm praying for people that are going to be seated in certain places, and I got right to here, and I'm moving it quicker than a walk, and somehow I cut my heel on that step up there, and I came down like a ton of bricks, like a rolling sack of potatoes, and I didn't end until, I mean, I was all the way down. I thought I was going to catch myself. It was like that slow motion thing, like, oh, here I go, you know, and I had a hymnal in my hand, and a boom, 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 you know, and I'm laying there, and I said, well, right here's where I normally pray. Here I am, Lord. First thing in my mind was, hey, nothing hurts. That's good. So, you know, as you get older, you get a little bit more clumsy. I was going to tie that into Luke 16. I don't know how I was going to do it. Oh, here's how it was. Here's how it is. I like to laugh. I enjoy life. I believe you're that way as well. And you ought to enjoy life rather than go through life grumbling all of the time. But this morning's message is really not about laughter. This morning's message is about hell. And so you're not going to hear some of the normal wit, if you consider it wit. Hell is no joke. Hell is no laughing matter. I'm going to apologize right now for maybe my lack of wit during this message, but I'm not going to apologize for the facts. I'm going to pray this morning that God the Holy Spirit will keep our attention without little jokes and little one-liners and sentence sermons and that kind of thing, and our attention will be focused on the facts of this place called hell. This kind of message is avoided like the crazy uncle in every family. This kind of message is not being preached in America enough. I entitled the message, The Forgotten Text. I actually got that from your mom's funeral. The preacher said, The Forgotten Text. And I thought, man, that's good. You know why it's forgotten? People avoid it. Nobody wants to hear about it. And I'm praying this morning that God will make this message as pointed as it needs to be. There's too little preaching on hell. When we look at Luke in chapter 16, we're going to get a little glimpse of hell. I cannot paint the horrors of hell in the English language. I know that as close as I get to God, it's still not going to be enough. And the rich man that went to hell was surprised that he was there. I think everybody that ends up in hell, they're surprised that they're there, because in the back of everybody's mind, they're just kind of hoping against hope that hell isn't really where they're going to end up. And unfortunately, that's the case. Stand with me. Let me read the text. Luke and chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. I don't intend to be fancy. I don't need to be fancy. God, we need the Holy Spirit to speak to all of our hearts and impress upon us our pathetic, our apathetic, our wandering hearts that hell is real. Give us a glimpse this morning. Give to us insights to hell and paradise and the angels and heaven. Mention in this passage and not mention some of these things in other places. God, would you open our ears to truth and help me to be a teacher and a preacher of the Word of God. Lord, I want to do right by you this morning. Help us all understand that hell is real. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. How many think it's hot in here already? And I thought, I do. I mentioned it up here in the choir. And I thought, you know, well, I wasn't thinking I should have turned the heat on this morning. I'm going to preach on hell and people would have been sweating. And I think it might have been good. But not. That's not the case. The air is on. All right. Hell, a reality. Jesus here is preaching to the self-righteous, high-minded, highly educated religious leaders in this story. Look what it says in chapter 15 and verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And Jesus gives a series of parables here. But I want to tell you, in Luke and chapter 16 and beginning with verse 19, this is not a parable. Never anywhere in the Word of God did Jesus speak in parables and use people's real names. And he mentions Lazarus. No, up to this point, he had been doing some preaching in parables. It's not hard for me to imagine at all these kind of shifts gears just a little bit. Says, let me tell you a story that's real. Let me tell you about a man named Lazarus. Jesus knew Lazarus. Let me tell you about that rich man. Interesting. Lazarus, the rich man, well, I'll come to that in a minute. There's a lot of golden, great truth in here. Oh, let me say this. Don't worry about finding your own truth. I said this last Sunday morning. I don't want to know my truth. If my truth does not agree with God's truth, then my truth is not truth. Some of the worst advice you could ever give to somebody is find your own truth. The best thing you could say is find God's truth concerning this place called hell. And I want God's truth. I believe God is real. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe a heaven that's sweet and a hell that's hot and an eternity that's long. I believe in the truth of God, and it matters not what secularism tells us today. Go back here again now to Luke and chapter 16 and verse 19. Little background, hell is mentioned 253 times in the Word of God. It's taught. 65 times it's mentioned in the Old Testament. 11 times in the New Testament, the word Hades is used, another word for hell, literally Abraham's bosom. I may explain that at some point during this message. 12 times it's referred to as Gehenna. That's the burning dump. That doesn't mean that's where it ends. He's just describing the best way he could for people around him what hell is going to be like. And hell is not the grave. There is a word for the grave. It's called Queber, and it's used one time in the Word of God in the Old Testament. Hell is a real place. People are not literally, let me explain this to you. I'll give you some Bible teaching, some background, and then we're going to get right to this parable or this story here this morning. Not a parable, all right? There's a place called Hades. It's in existence right now. There used to be, before Calvary, before the resurrection, there was Hades and there was Abraham's bosom. And that is in somewhere under the surface of the earth. Abraham's bosom was taken to heaven, we refer to it as paradise, by Jesus Christ. I don't have time to preach it. I could take you to the Bible and show you that, all right? Hades is still somewhere under the crust of this earth. It is a place where the worm dieth not. It is a place where there's torment and flame. It is referred to as a furnace of fire. It is a place where there is weeping, a place where there's gnashing of teeth. It is a real place. It's no joke. Jesus preached on hell three times as much as he preached on heaven. Hell was not created for mankind. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But because man rebelled against God back in the garden, and then man, fast forward to the year to the year 2022, man refuses to receive Jesus as his Savior, man ends up going to the place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. You don't want to go there. I'm going to describe some of it here this morning as we work our way through this story and get a little glimpse of hell. And I want you to know, the Bible says hell hath enlarged herself because man refuses Christ. We're not cheerleaders for the church. We're rescue workers, first responders for heaven. It's more than saying, yay, God. It's warning people of the wrath to come and telling them of this horrible place called hell. Take your Bibles, hold it right here. Let's go to John 3 before I start, and verse 18. John in chapter 3 and verse 18. Nobody goes to hell except they belong there. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? We're all sinners. We all belong in hell. Every single one of us, apart from the mercy of God and apart from the grace of God, we belong in hell. You understand, we are Adam's race. We rebelled against God, and we can't just point over our shoulder at Adam and say, oh, sinner Adam, you and I, we shake our fist in the face of a holy God, and we do our own thing, and we're stubborn, and we're full of pride, and we're full of sin, and we excuse our sin over and over again. It says in John in chapter 3 and verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Talked about being born again just prior to this. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, everybody's on their way to this place called hell until they come to Christ, until they get born again. And this isn't the message this morning, but let me tell you again, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You understand, before everybody, unless they come to Christ, that's why we got to warn them. Unless they repent of their sin, unless they receive Jesus Christ, who made atonement for their sin, who made propitiation for their sin, who died in their place, shed his blood and rose again, unless they receive that Jesus as their Savior, hell is their home. Hell is where they're going to go. And let me tell you this. Death changes everything. What we read here is a contrast between two lives. And death changes everything. I say this by way of background. I've got so much material here, background material. Lazarus was a man, all he had was God. The rich man, all he had was his riches. The name Lazarus means God is my help. He was poor. He was worthless. He was a wretch. He was a beggar, no wealth, laid at the gate, a cripple, diseased, sores on his back. The rich man had kingly apparel on his back. He was hungry, under the crumbs. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Let's read it. Verse 19 says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple, he was wealthy, and fine linen, that's over the top, fared sumptuously every day, ate like a king. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid, and that is that word speaks of being thrown. He was laid at his gate, the gate of the rich man, and he was full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs, the garbage which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The rich man has no name. We know Lazarus. Had the best of clothes, feasted like a king, fact, I'm sure he had a big funeral. And that's where eternity began. Let's read the next verse. And it came to pass, the beggar died. No funeral. And carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. I've been with some people that have died. People close to God. I've never heard angels' wings. I thought I could. Man, I was listening. And it was a sweet experience. I've been with people singing, "Oh, how firm a foundation," as they slipped into heaven. I can take you to the book of Revelation, and I think this is right. I think this is biblical. I read it right here. No one dies alone when you're a member of the family of God. Amen. And the angels carried the beggar to Abraham's bosom. He breathed his last breath and received an escort to paradise. Man, I can't wait for that to happen. Let's read on. The rich man also died and was buried. He had a funeral. And then, surprise of surprises, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, plural, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." He's crying out for mercy, but he's crying out too late. Number one, verse 23. In hell, you'll be alone. As we read in the text, you'll be afar off, banished from the presence of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9. Let me say this again. Nobody, I don't care how tough they act, expects to really go to hell. I know people in hell. You probably do too. I know people in heaven. Nobody expects to go to hell. He died alone. They have a big funeral. Maybe they were singing his praises at the rich man's funeral. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He's already crying out. He's already crying for mercy. He's already asking God to make a change somehow, some way. Let's read on. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." By the way, up in verse 22, it mentions torment in the plural form. He says, man, just a drop of water, just a single drop of water. It tells us in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12 that there's weeping and there's gnashing of teeth. Again in Matthew and chapter 3 and verse 12, unquenchable fire. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, fire and brimstone. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, the lake of fire, a flame, a furnace of fire, weeping and gnashing of teeth. I cannot imagine hell. I can't. Emotionally, just think of the most evil event you've ever witnessed. Emotionally, just think of the most tragic news you have ever heard. Just let your mind go back there for a moment and the pit in your stomach. Think of that cold fear. Think of the loneliness. Think of no light. Understand, in hell, no Holy Spirit, no kind words, weeping and wailing in every direction. People gnashing their teeth in pain. You say, I can't believe a God of love would damn any place, anybody to a place called hell. God doesn't damn, contrary to the preaching you hear on the street God, or at the workplace, God doesn't damn anyone to hell. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We damn ourselves to hell. Hell is real. Place of torments. Place of prayer. Look at verse 24. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." Too late. "Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." It's a place of prayer. He cries out to God. Oh, all of those things, and going back and thinking about the darkness of this life and comparing it to hell. Add one more thing, a great gulf. There's no hope. You go to hell, it's never going to change. There's no, well, just over the next hill or just around the next corner. None of that. The word used to describe hell is everlasting. It is the word Ionesis. 64 times it's used to describe our God in heaven. 7 times it's used to describe hell. You see, if you go to hell, it's a place of no return. A place of no hope. No change. Forever and ever. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know, I never read it like this before, but I can see the rich man, even in torment. Hey, send the beggar. Send the beggar. I need some water. That ain't gonna work. By the way, there's nothing wrong with riches. That's not why the man went to hell. As a matter of fact, Lazarus went to be by the side of the richest Old Testament saint that ever lived. His name was Abraham. So it wasn't riches. It was the fact that he had never received Christ as his Savior. And in the same chapter, Jesus says a little bit earlier, you can't serve both God and mammon. It's not about riches. He's preaching to the Pharisees. He's preaching to the covetous religious leaders. As a matter of fact, verse 13 says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Then the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. He says, hey, let me tell you a story. I know a man named Lazarus, and he was taken to Abraham's bosom. I know a rich man, and he went to hell. And in hell, he's crying. Oh, he's still crying today. He says, hey, send the beggar. Abraham, send the beggar. The beggar's a child of the king. The beggar's in heaven right now. Well, what a difference. What a picture of contrast. Verse 25. Remember that thou, and Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. The tide is turned. Death changes everything. Memory. No second chance. But he remembers. Hey, if you're here this morning and you're not born again and you go to hell, you'll remember this message for all of eternity. Because God is calling you to salvation. God is calling and giving and offering to you eternal life. If you reject him, we're condemned already, it says in John 3:18. You'll end up in the devil's hell. Never prepared for you, but that's where you'll spend all of eternity. Place of memory. Now, the rich man is missionary minded. Look at verse 27. Oh, verse 26. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. No return, no chance, no second chance. It's too late. You breathed your last breath. God in his mercy gave you all kinds of opportunities to come to Christ. Your life finally ended, and you end up in the devil's hell. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. I got 5 brothers. Send them to my father's house. I don't want them to come to this place. For I have 5 brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You know what he's saying? Moses and the prophets. The Pentateuch and the Old Testament prophets. They have the Bible. They have the Old Testament. If they will not listen to the word of God, they'll not listen to someone who says they've returned from the dead. There's nothing more powerful in this world today than the word of God. And the Bible says it cannot be chained. It cannot be limited. It cannot be held back. If we just release it, if we just preach it, man, if we just share it, if we just tell people about Jesus, it says in verse 30, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. The word of God, the Bible, is the only hope of the living today on this planet. Amen. And it's up to the church of Jesus Christ to preach, to herald, to declare the word of God. Hell is real. He's missionary minded. But there's a great gulf fixed. And the worst is yet to come. One day, those that are in Hades, we refer to it as hell. It's not wrong. It's not wrong. But I'm just splitting hairs, all right? those that are in hell today will be resurrected. Go to Revelation and chapter 20. Revelation and chapter 20. In verse 11. Let me tell you what we're going to read. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Hebrews in chapter 9. For the child of God that dies, we will appear at the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, to receive the things done in this body, whether it be good or bad. What we did with Jesus while we were here on this earth, and will be rewarded accordingly. Thank God our sin was judged at Mount Calvary on the cross of Jesus. On his body, all of our sins was laid, and the handwriting and the ordinances that was against us, that's the law, was nailed to the cross, and Jesus paid the full penalty for our sin. But those that never get born again, those that never get saved, they're going to be resurrected for an event that is called the Great White Throne. And everybody tries to hide, but there's no escape. It says in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Finally, they're delivered from the fires of hell. Finally, they're delivered from the flame where the worm dieth not. Finally, for just a few brief moments, and they open their eyes and they're standing, where are we going? And they're standing before Jesus at the great white throne. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I'm sure glad I'm not going to be judged according to my works. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm saved because of the grace of God. But there are those that are not born again, and they've never received the grace of God. They'll be judged according to their works. Man, I'd burn in the hottest corner of hell if I was judged according to my works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now there's eternal hell. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. Second death and then hell. Physical death and then hell, the second death. If you're born twice, born again, born physically and born again, you die once. And you live forever. But listen, those that are in hell, those that are in Hades today, they'll be resurrected for this event. Man, this is after the millennial kingdom. They're going to be resurrected and then be cast into the lake of fire. The worst is yet to come. The thing that I can't get away from, and I haven't been able to get away from for 72 hours. I know people in hell. They were with us on this earth. And they didn't get saved. You say, well, God will give me a second chance. No. Great goal fixed. It's pointed on a man once to die. Then the judgment. There is no limbo. There is no in between. There's no second chances. There wasn't for the rich man. No second chances. This life is our opportunity to be born again. I see the edge of eternity often. I'm with people that are leaving this planet. Are you born again? And by the way, if you are born again and you've taken God's grace and the gift of eternal life, and you're doing nothing with it, I don't want to be the Christian that got born again, saved by grace, and then lived their life for themselves. I don't want to be that Christian at the Bema Seat of Christ. When God the Son looks down at me and says, God the Father asked this question through his Son, what have you done with Jesus? What did you get done for the glory of God?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.